Well, hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching on YouTube, you already see I have a guest with me today. Everyone, let's please give a warm welcome to Miss Nikki Huber.
Hi.
Hello, Nikki. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Let's just get right into it and tell the people who you are.
So I'm Nikki Huber. I am a Chicagoland native. I do a lot of acting, modeling, and hosting as well. And I'm a former fitness competitor.
Yes. Yeah. I have so many questions. Okay.
I'm excited to try and answer that.
Yeah. I'm so interested in, like, especially the fitness world for you. I never met anyone like that. So it's, like, super cool for you to break that down. But first, I ask every guest on the show, what era are you in?
Oh, burning question. What era am I in? I would say I'm always in an element of this era, but, like, head deep into the gratitude era.
Okay.
Like, just everything grateful for it, just leaning into gratitude all the time, because we just live in a world that can be very negative.
Yeah.
And also the industry we're in as creatives is a tough one.
Yeah.
So living in that gratitude era allows me to just find those little golden nuggets of positivity. And then also just brings me to that mindset of, if someone else is having a bad day or I'm having a bad day, just say hi and smile, and that can change your mood.
I also think living in gratitude also keeps you humble in a sense. Like, it reminds you of, like, what you have. Like, you aren't entitled to it. You are lucky, or you're grateful to get these opportunities.
Absolutely.
So I think that also helps, especially as creatives in an industry where things can be uncertain, to have that, like, root of being grateful.
Right. And everything can be taken away from you.
Yeah.
In any moment.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's knowing that,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that there are so many other people who look like me or look like you.
Yeah.
That show up for the same auditions.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm doing a voiceover and someone sounds similar. Right. Uh-huh. It could be a matter of anything. So for me, it's just constantly thanking God for every opportunity that I've had,
mm-hmm.
currently have, or will have, whether it's in personal life or within our
totally
industry.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. That was a cute one.
Thank you.
I get different ones every time. Some of them are, like, more unhinged, so I appreciate
it. Yeah, I mean, let's be real, we're all in our goddess era all the time.
Yeah,
like, living that feminine energy, right?
Yes.
But I was like, we're gonna bring it to being grateful.
Yeah, I love that. That's cute. Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
So let's bring everything back to young little Nikki. What got you into the fitness world, and what does that mean?
Okay, so fun fact, I'm athletically challenged and extremely clumsy. So you're like, how did she get into fitness? Well, I wasn't very good at team sports or anything of that nature.
You were not.
Awful at team sports. Do not call on me first. I would rather be Nurse Nikki.
Yeah.
Nurse Nikki sitting on the bench, but I'll cheer you on.
Me,
but you
need, that,
like,
was me.
You need that extra person to say you can play baseball 100%. This week.
They'd
be like, you can just sit there. It's okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Awful. But what happened is I really admired my brother, so I would try every sport that they did.
Okay.
Awful.
Okay.
Huge epic fail, right? But I kept getting these letters in the mail for Miss Illinois USA, Miss Illinois Team USA.
Okay.
At the time, I was doing some musical theater. I was a little awkward and gawky, but I was like, I think I want to try one of these pageants. Well, there's the swimsuit round.
Yeah.
So for me, it really pushed me more towards exercise in a healthy way.
Okay. Though.
And Miss Pankratz at Schaumburg High School, shout out Miss Pankratz. She was, like, our aerobics instructor, and different type of exercise classes that she really exposed everybody to.
Okay.
So for me, while I was training for these pageants, because I was, I believe, a junior or senior in high school when I went to my mom and said, I'm doing a pageant, she helped me focus on, well, you're beautiful. There's nothing wrong with you. But if there's this lifestyle or swimsuit round,
mm-hmm.
what could we maybe work on? What are you worried about as a teenager? But
yeah.
she never allowed that to breed any form of toxicity, which was fantastic.
Good.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And the day that did it, because Taibo and, like, all of these exercise classes that were out there that they would do with us were just not it. They were not it for me. So there was a day that we needed to go to the strength and conditioning room.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, old school equipment.
Yeah.
Falling apart because they were doing construction on the new strength and conditioning room.
Okay.
And she was showing us how to properly do a bicep curl.
Okay.
And now, obviously, what she was teaching us was probably from the 70s or something.
Yeah, it probably was also not, like accurate.
Not it, right? But you're like, okay, okay. Like, and I admired her as a woman. And, like, her energy, literal spitfire energy, but also her aura.
Yeah.
And we get into this room, and she's showing me this piece of equipment that was a leg extension.
Okay.
And I don't know if they make this anymore, but it's a bench that's, like, a leg extension. It's a curl. It's multi-purpose.
Okay.
And I do a leg extension, and I look down, and I go, what's that? And she's like, that's a quad. And I was like, that's cool. I have a quad. You know, it's just like something so silly. Yeah. I didn't even know like a quad was core muscles.
Yeah.
And a quad. I didn't know anything. So I just thought it was so cool. I felt strong, but still feminine.
Okay.
And that really started pushing me forward. I continued to do pageants for, I want to say about 9 years after that.
Okay.
I stepped on stage, loved it. Yeah. I got addicted to it.
Yeah.
I also got addicted to the message behind it of like advocacy and, you know, your title is to do more than just wear a crown.
Right? Yeah.
You're helping others. But with that lifestyle and fitness round, it gave me a goal to stay active and stay healthy because I was active through dance and musical theater, but I wasn't necessarily active on a regular basis.
Yes.
Right? Once you're done with your recital or your musical,
totally.
You were done. So it kept me in a space of being goal-oriented.
Okay.
And found, I would say, my thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because as the youngest sister, I was always going to my brother's things.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. It helped find part of my identity.
Yeah.
As well. And then I went on to, after I left pageants, compete in my first fitness show, Bikini Fitness, with an organization called NABBA. And mm-hmm. I won my first pro card. And I thought, this is what's up. And I thought this is what's up before I ever won. Right?
Okay.
Was it great to win? Absolutely. But it's just like being in the arts. But your body is the artwork,
yeah.
If you will. And you're backstage with people who are doing some pretty extreme things, you know, to make sure their muscles are showing properly. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, these people are so weird, and I'm weird. This is a cool weird. I'm here for
this. Yeah,
like,
you
this
liked
is
it.
Great. This is
yeah.
great. Right, right. It was really fun. Won my first pro card, went on to compete in another federation, nationally qualified in my very first show with that federation. I was like, wait, like, I'm good at this. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
It combined performing.
Yeah, it does.
With a bit of pageantry.
Yeah.
And fitness. Like, oh my gosh, got certified to be a trainer. So then I was training clients, training my mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on to switch federations, which was the perfect fit. And it was WBFF was the federation. So the World of Beauty, Fitness, and Fashion.
Okay.
I was like,
that's so cute.
Duh.
Yeah.
And did my first show with them in, I think it was 2016, and won my second pro card with them, which was great. So it was evening gown and swimwear.
Okay.
A little opening number fun. But throughout that entire journey where we're talking about me, I was also coaching clients. Whether
okay.
it was individuals on the spectrum mm-hmm. or older people that needed to look out for their heart health, or again, my parents,
yeah.
right? Looking out for my dad's health, my mother's
yeah.
health, you know, what is genetic within my family. So then I became more aware of where I will always work towards preventing
yes.
or maybe elongating how long it might take before, you know, those ailments set in because it's genetic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a bit of the journey. And I was training clients all the way until about a year ago.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Part of what allowed me to also pursue acting.
Yeah.
And hosting.
That flexibility.
And modeling. Right. The flexibility. And it was also very rewarding.
Yeah.
To be part of people's lives.
What?
And their progress.
What does it mean when you win a pro card? Like, how do you win one?
So it depends on the federation.
Okay.
But typically, you will need to. How do I explain it best? We'll go with NPC because that's like the most well-known. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger was in.
Okay.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger was with NPC. That's how he won his pro card for IFBB and bodybuilding.
Okay.
So that is, this will be the easiest way to break it down. So NPC is the amateur level leading to that pro card.
Okay.
So you'll stand on stage next to individuals that are similar heights as
okay.
you are, right? And they'll compare your symmetry and your muscle groups. With women, it can be a little bit different with the men.
Yeah.
They're looking at our swimsuit, our hair type. They're looking at us a little bit more commercialized than the men.
Yeah.
And you need to qualify within a show that is considered a national qualifier. Then, if you're in the top two at the time, it's within the top two of that show, then you nationally qualify. Then from national qualifying, there are specific shows that are held nationally or internationally. You then have to compete on that stage and win either your division or overall. And when I say your division, your height class is the best way to put it.
Oh, okay.
Then you need to win overall compared to all of the height classes. So your height would be standing right next to me at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And they're looking at overall presentation, package, so on and so forth. And some of these federations, you also need to compete a certain amount of times while having your pro card to maintain your status. Mm-hmm. It's a whole
thing. It's like a whole world.
Yeah, yeah. So WBFF in Chicago, it was their very first show in Chicago.
Okay.
And theirs was a little bit different. So you needed to win your pro card and then to maintain it, compete as a pro.
Okay.
So they had more like a prelim at the show. And then you went on and they judged you against everybody else to win your pro card at that very show. Unlike NPC, where there's a little bit more step to the process.
Okay.
Both are accredited in their own way and in their own right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's why you'll hear people say that they've competed in fitness for like 4 or 5 years and that they've done a certain amount of shows per year.
Okay.
But I want to note like how you are holding body fat at a very low level before you get on stage is not how anyone, male or female, should weigh or have such a low body fat on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
So the irony is we're winning these pro cards as athletes, right?
Yeah.
But likely we're at our weakest strength point backstage because we're depleted from carbohydrates for anywhere from a week to sometimes 2 weeks before. You're cycling your carbs, your water, you're changing up your protein, your fat intake to maybe hone in a specific muscle group. And then you get backstage and you start eating. Some people need to eat candy.
Yeah,
because maybe genetically they are really blessed, so they need to eat candy to get the blood sugar going. Like I would need to eat actual candy, whereas others, something as simple as rice cakes and peanut butter, help their glycogen their glycogen spike.
Okay,
right. So once the glycogen spikes, now we're filling the muscle up before you go on stage. So you kind of flatten out on purpose for a couple of days, so sometimes a week before. And then leading up, you start increasing certain foods.
How do you
it's a
know?
Whole hashtag science.
Yeah. Woman in STEM at this point.
It's like,
wait, how do you know what food you, like, how did you know it was candy and that someone else was rice cakes and peanut butter?
So I had some really good coaches.
Okay.
But also my metabolism was very fast.
Yeah.
And I already ate very clean regularly.
Okay.
So for me, a rice cake and honey or a rice cake and peanut butter wasn't enough of a cheat, if
Got
you will, for my
it.
Body to recognize it as more sugar. So we need to pump this glycogen level up, right? My body wouldn't recognize that, but maybe somebody else who, while they were in prep, right, was, and when I say prep, that could be like 17 weeks of getting ready for a show, right? Maybe they weren't already predisposed with a very high metabolism.
Yeah.
So for them, they had to diet down harder.
Got it.
And that's going to impact
Got
them.
It.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that
so
does.
So it's kind of up to each person's body.
That's so interesting.
So my very first show is when we were figuring it out. Like we had
no
idea. And they'll even like, some coaches will even give you a little bit of red wine.
Okay.
Because of the sugar.
Okay.
And that will help as well, which wasn't great for me because I don't drink that often.
Yeah,
so
like
I was
it's loaded.
I'm thinking right, and I'm like, I'm in my high heels and you're back there with resistance bands, like pumping up your biceps,
gosh.
And I'm going, I feel really floaty. This is great. Yeah, because you took 2 sips of wine and you haven't touched alcohol in how long? I mean, I had competed in pageants and fitness for so many years that my girlfriends would have funny photos of me out at bars double fisting water, right? So for me, those 3 sips of wine really got me. But maybe my teammate, who was used to drinking prior to the show, her body was like, give me more. I need more sugar.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's the sugar level also in the wine.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So like for you.
We're just giant science experiments,
basically. Seriously. Because so like you eating a candy bar it made you look more defined.
Yeah. I know. It's you're like, so that's weird. So counterintuitive. Yeah. But because if we have that all the time in everyday life, it's too much if you're eating that way every single day. But because you're honed in on a specific meal plan for 18 weeks, your body hasn't had any of that sugar.
Yeah.
So it's eating it up. It's absorbing that.
Oh, my God. That makes sense.
And now you're filling out. So when you hear people say, like, oh, your muscles are filling out, you're then filling that out. If that makes sense.
That's so interesting. Yeah. It does make sense.
Yeah. I haven't explained this in so long. It's kind of fun.
I want to
it's been a minute.
I want a breakdown of what I need, but I don't know how to do that. You know what I mean?
I would sit down. We would do your height, your weight, your activity level, your food. Typically, I would have people give me a food journal of about 3 days or so.
Okay.
And that helps me figure out based on what they've been eating. And what their goal is. And I'll also find out what your current exercise or activity level is like. Because you're also looking at fuel in versus fuel out. Meaning calories in and calories out. And where are those calories coming from?
Yeah.
Are most of your calories from fat?
Yeah.
Good fats, bad fats? Good carbs, bad carbs? Protein? Right? So then I play with those ratios. And
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because a lot of people do a ton of cardio.
Yeah.
And they're not doing any resistance training, which as women, we really need to do resistance training.
Yeah, totally.
It helps with our bone density, osteoporosis, metabolism. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's the leather.
We'll go to coffee.
Late after today, let's do that. I will cite my
food. I have a whole podcast about
please,
that.
I will cite my food diary. That is
just
so
3 days, that's all I need.
That's perfect.
And I always tell people what I would tell them all the time at the gym or if it was independent clients was, don't tell me what you think I want to hear.
Yeah.
Because if you tell me what you think I want to hear, I can't help you.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a sweet tooth, so I have to have something a day. So I understand.
Or chocolate.
Yeah, I do the true fruit. Fruits, little healthier versions or chocolate-covered almonds. Something in that realm to try to be a little bit better than just like...
Another one with a sweet tooth that's good is there's little cheats. Do you like cottage cheese?
I haven't dabbled enough.
So you can play with cottage cheese. There's a decent amount of protein in it.
Okay.
And I usually get some type of preserve, like a jelly preserve of some type, and mix it in there, and you can freeze it.
Okay.
Or put it in the blender, and you're totally tricking yourself into thinking you're eating ice cream. But it's much healthier. I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. I've got tricks of the trade for you.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk later, because I do want that information. I could spend the whole hour on this. Okay.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously you've always been on a stage in some sense. You're a performer. Regardless of what you're doing, you're a performer, essentially, which is cool.
Correct, yeah.
So what did you always decide? Because I know you as, an actor, you know, model actor. So, did you do the switch after fitness? What made you, did you stop fitness world? What does that look like?
So, what kind of the order was? So, growing up, it was pretty much whether I was on an actual stage or not, you were getting a show.
Yeah.
Whether it was I decided the dogs were dressing up and we were playing a circus and showing it to my parents.
Yeah.
Or I would stand on my sandbox and sing songs and my parents would say, what are you doing? And I made up a name for myself.
Cute.
That was on my bedroom door. So, I was Judy the rock star.
Aww.
So, they knew if I was performing, I was Judy the rock star. This was a thing. For years, I didn't have an imaginary friend.
Yeah, I was
Beyonce
also.
Had Sasha Fierce.
That's hilarious.
I was Judy the Rock. You know, but it was all performing, and even through fitness, I would still do some type of hosting. I was hosting for the Chicago Slaughter, which was an indoor football team at the time.
Uh-huh.
So there was always some type of performance element. But really, it started with dance, and then from dance was musical theater. And I will never forget my dad driving me to my first musical theater class. It was a makeup class.
Okay.
And then they were going to have singing. And I thought, oh, gosh. It was probably when I first started realizing this can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. You're getting in there. And I got in there. And I'm so glad that he really pushed me in a positive way.
Yeah.
To get into that class. And I fell in love with musical theater after that. It also provided such a fun, safe space to... make up characters.
Play. Totally.
And, you know, just really get out there with it and figure out your vocal range. And what is vocal range? I just learned so much. So I did musical theater at Dorothy's Unlimited Dance in Schaumburg.
Okay.
And we did the musical Annie. They started an entire separate performance group called Schomburg on Stage. So I was part of their very first year of Schomburg on Stage, and we performed like Elgin Community College, the Prairie Center for the Arts, and we just kept getting the show extended, which was amazing.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then I learned about this entire community theater element in the suburbs of Chicago, mm-hmm. and performed throughout that. And then as I went on to college, it was a no-brainer to do theater. You know, I was either doing visual arts or performing arts. So whether it was drawing, photography, painting, I was doing that in correlation with concert choir. If I was doing visual arts, I was still always performing in some capacity.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Even, again, painting and drawing, all of those things were also such a great therapeutic space for me.
Yeah.
And where I naturally had talents and gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had that in performing. So, yeah, I always performed throughout. So fitness was there.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I took it very, very seriously.
Yeah.
To the sense that I understood that as a model who was now modeling at that point for like Giovanni and McDougal and large pageant gown companies and bridal companies like Mon Cheri, David Chutera, I realized that, and I would say this to my fitness coaches, if I get too bulky, if I get this, or this, that will then impact me being cast, which will then impact my career and my income.
Yeah.
So I started realizing, wait a minute, these are choices, not just for fun.
Yes.
And my coaches were always really great about it. So bikini, mm-hmm. where some people might, figures like bigger, right?
Yeah.
As far as muscle growth.
Yeah.
So bikini was a really good spot for me because I could still do modeling and acting and have that physical physique that was, I don't want to say acceptable on
like
stage.
Socially, like with people
expected or castable. I would say because sample sizes at the time were a certain size.
Yeah.
So fitness was always there. Some things happened in life that drew me away from competing in fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I think I was pretty disgruntled about it. I had a lot of an identity of who I was as a competitor.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was a blessing because then I had to dive into who am I as Nikki Huber. Not Nikki Huber fitness,
mm-hmm.
not Nikki Huber actress, not Nikki Huber all of these things that are part of me, but who am I
at
my core, 100%, right?
Yeah.
But fitness, I will always be in my life now.
Yeah.
But performing and the arts have been a foundation throughout my entire life.
That's
like as far as back as I can remember.
Yeah, since I was a little, all the videos of me is like home videos is me like singing "Since You've Been Gone" by Kelly Clarkson I was always dramatic. I always had a show.
I'm not dramatic. I'm just exuberant.
I'm expressive.
Yeah, I feel like you're there with me.
There's a video of me at like 3 years old singing "Since You've Been Gone," and I guess in the video I was literally like throwing things around my house. I'm like "Since You've Been," I was just like. Like I guess in the music video she did that so I was just like so extra, but everyone, God willing, in my family like nurtured it and that is why I am sitting here today.
I love that
having even the balls to think like I have a podcast and people want to listen to me, like just that confidence.
Because you do.
And it's fun and it's a lot of fun. I agree. I couldn't when I went to college, I didn't study theater or like the arts. I always danced, so I danced for about 15 years up until my last graduation day of college. But I went the communications PR marketing route, which is still very useful and I still use it to this day, so it's a blessing. But I did stop like a bulk of like auditioning and like theater stuff, and then once I graduated I was like, what am I doing? Like, where am I? Like, what does Alyssa want to do for Alyssa? Not college Alyssa, not sorority Alyssa, not dancer Alyssa. Like,
not what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
All the other noise. Yeah.
And then I went back to my roots and like all my favorite things to do is what I did since I was a kid. And I didn't realize, I thought at some point it was like my mom making me do this, but it's like, no, there were three kids. I was the oldest. My other two who were forced, you know, quote unquote, forced to be in the industry by 13, 14 was out of it. They didn't like it. It wasn't for them. And I'm here 24 and I'm like, more,
give me more. right. Because people think, what is wrong with you? Are you guys like masochistic because there's so much rejection?
You're
like, no, I love auditioning. It's fine. I know I did a great job, or I feel confident in it, or we love the notes. Give me notes so I can improve. my minor was special education. I know when we were talking before we got on the podcast today, I think that that's also a very common thread I've noticed within a lot of, I would say, personalities, performers.
Okay.
There's like a tender heart, I think, for individuals with intellectual disabilities or even physical disabilities or abilities, rather. That is like really, really beautiful within our industry as well. And I think that allows that empathetic space to portray different characters.
Totally.
Because we have this empathy towards different socioeconomic classes.
Yeah.
Different personalities, different abilities.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
So we're able to tap into characters on another level.
That seem like far-fetched. Even yesterday we were watching a show and my sister was like, I don't get how people act. And she said that to me like as a joke because obviously she knows.
I don't get how you do it.
Yeah, whatever. And like, she was like, I don't get how you read a script and like turn on like a new person.
Right.
And it's just like, in a way, everyone is the same, even though they're different. Everyone has things that they've gone through. Everyone has fears, has anxiety, has some type of anxiety, or something holding them down, or something amazing, something exciting.
Right. It doesn't matter
your
background. You could be the wealthiest person in the world, and something has happened in your life, as much as, you know, others may not want to think that of the wealthiest person in the world, right? Every, like you said, everybody has a thing.
Yeah, so if there's a character that is relating nothing to me, but this girl had her heart broken, I can play that, even though, you know what I mean? Even though it wasn't the way she got hers broken, whatever it was. So I think having that emotional understanding and capability of being able to become these characters also adds in with, like, my communications, my background with sociology and communications, like, all that stuff.
Your background. Emotional IQ.
Yeah, all those things make a huge difference. Right. And that's what keeps us in the game, I think, and keeps us still, like, healthy and, like, having positive outlooks at the industry.
Absolutely. So you've done some hosting as well, as have I.
Yeah.
Do you, I'm like, let's switch the table.
Yeah.
Do you feel, because I do, I feel this way. I think that being able to host as Alyssa or even as Nikki, even if I'm representing a brand in an industrial training video, or I'm at the Chicago Dogs or the Chicago Wolves and I'm Nikki Fuller, the Chicago Dogs.
Yeah.
Right? But you're still you.
Yeah.
I think that adds such an element of humility because we're not playing the part. You can't hide behind a part.
Yes.
Right?
I understand
think it keeps
that.
Me grounded. And I really enjoy representing these different brands. And a lot of them are mom and pop brands.
Yeah.
So there's so much integrity to their brand and what their brand identity, which in a way is also a character.
Yeah,
if you
it
will,
is.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're us. Do you think that it adds to just your humility as an actress because you're being you?
Yeah, I mean, it does. Well, one, I only want to work with companies that I believe in because it's that thing. If I'm representing a mom and pop like business, I want to make sure I believe in what they're selling also because it is my face, even though it's for them. So like that can get me in a certain energy of knowing like, for me, like the marketing view, like they want to hire me to represent this mom and pop business. Their values are family, community, and support. And those are my values. So great. That is an alignment of me, but that kind of keeps me, like you said, grounded of like the why. Even with this podcast, I feel as though I'm representing myself, but I'm also representing, in my eyes, a bigger purpose of like talking and being a voice for women who might not want to speak up or who might not want to say these things or admit these things or who might not even know these things.
It's a group of people.
Like, yeah.
I was about to, you know, say when you were speaking, your podcast represents an entire group.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you.
And
in
you're
my,
like a
yeah.
voice of relatability. Like you never know if someone is scrolling and they're on YouTube and they watch one of your podcasts and you connect with them and you don't know where it's going to touch their hearts.
Yeah.
Right. If they're in a great mood or they're depressed in that moment because you do have the balls when you're like, I don't know. I mean, who am I to have the balls to do this? Like you do have the balls to do it and you just don't realize the impact that you might be leaving somewhere because words do matter. Right.
Yeah.
And that impacts like leaves that legacy for others as
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I started this because of women. I started this, you know, in 2022, like after like my first long-term like breakup, and I was experiencing the same things all my girls were feeling, but no one talked about it. And I'm like, wait, you felt this before? I didn't know.
Well, that's the problem, is no one talks about it, right? And if we, sociology major, if we look back, right?
Yeah.
Let's go way back to like living in, you know, villages, if you will, in huts, right? Like, the women spent time together talking about women things to support one another.
Yeah.
They spoke. And somewhere along the line in societies, it became hush, 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 hush.
Yes.
When now women and young girls are going, well, not to get gross, but it's like, tell me about puberty, mom. Like, explain it. And there was such a hush, hush for so long. And we were, as women and even boys, were learning about it in school from your health teacher, but no one spoke to each other.
Yes.
Whether it's a breakup and you're going, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. I feel so normal.
Yeah.
Oh, you get like that cray cray moment too? Me too. What's your cray cray?
Yeah.
Tell me, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just knowing that you're there together and there's communities within society.
Totally. You know? And everyone experiences the same things, whether or not they mask it. It's a thing that you can experience.
Right.
And I have like a questionnaire, like Google like form people can fill out. And I have more guys fill it out than girls.
I love that.
And the guys are like, what do you think? Like, my girlfriend said she wants to like take things slow, but we've been dating for 2 years. Like, she's going like these guys are asking me questions, and I'm like, that's sweet. Like, they like have that thought of maybe not talking to their direct girlfriend about it, but they want another girl's POV without being weird and asking a sister and weird,
or,
quote unquote,
or without feeling like they are overstepping a boundary and asking another woman at work,
exactly,
or another woman who is their girlfriend's friend, or a girl that they're interested in, because they don't want to cross what they might feel is a disrespectful boundary. I love that.
Yeah, and
yes,
my
kings, yes, ask the questions. Well, because there's strength and vulnerability, and I think that even more for men and boys.
Yep.
They're taught, like, don't cry, don't show this emotion or that emotion, don't show any emotion.
Yep.
When vulnerability and conversation is strength.
100%.
And I think we're getting to a spot where more and more men are feeling safe.
I agree.
Or they're at least dipping their toe in being comfortable with the questions and communication. So that's awesome to hear.
And I think with the emotion part, I have been... When I'm, like, talking to a boy or dating a boy or, like, intertwining myself with a boy, whether it's a friend or, like, more, I always think I can tell very easily, like, what they might have lacked as a kid that they didn't get, because it projects on them now as an adult.
Right.
Like for example, just a basic, like, emotional. Like, maybe your dad told you you couldn't cry, so you can't cry. So now as a 25-year-old man, you don't know how to look at me and cry.
Or if they do, they say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. You must think I'm so weak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, no, you're crying. Yeah. Let it out.
And I literally yesterday was thinking about something and like reliving an experience that happened a couple years ago, just a part of like my healing journey. It's like, where did I go wrong?
And I think we're honestly forever healing from something.
I do too.
You know,
no, 100%.
We could reconnect in like 30 years and you're like, oh, well, now I'm healing from this thing.
Yeah.
There's always something to grow from, always something to heal from. Like, I don't believe in, the belief system of once you hit a certain age, you can't change, or once you hit this or this in your life, you're stuck in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a difference between growth mindset and the want to grow and change.
Mm-hmm.
I think the word change has a stigma. Elevate.
Yeah.
Right?
Elevate's great.
Awareness.
Yeah.
Versus, if you're stuck in your ways, you're stuck in your ways because you're choosing to be stuck.
Yeah. And with that thing, when I was thinking about it, I was like, it's kind of annoying. It's not his fault he doesn't know that he can cry in front of me. It means his dad told him he can't, and then his grandpa told his dad he can't, his great-grandpa told his grandpa. Like, it's just a generational thing,
right.
And it's a thing that I agree, like, I have some girlfriends or older, not older, but like in my eyes, like they might be 5-10 years older than me, but they already have kids.
Right.
And I have two or three in particular that are boy moms. And they're like, oh my God, raising a boy, like I have to undo everything I was told and my husband was told and try to implement these healthy habits on these young boys, because if we don't do them now, like it is not happening.
Right.
And us as women taking 25, 30, 40-year-old men now, we're seeing them and we're trying to I guess, break these bad habits. And it's right. like a whole
thing. We're trying to show support, and they might think we're trying to instill rules. And we're like, no, I'm trying to show just you another way.
A new way,
I'm
yeah.
to support you.
Yeah.
And then it's that delicate dance of how do I support you without you feeling like I'm trying to take from your masculine
exactly.
energy.
Yeah, or like judge you or whatever. Yeah. So it's just been a whole spiral that I'm like, this is an everlasting journey, like you said.
Right.
And especially with the way women were perceived from the beginning and how something changed where women no longer, you know, when women are put against each other or whatever, right. those little things, like just trying to unbreak those habits in some way, I hope for future generations to be able to
right and
do
genuinely
better.
Getting there to cheer each other on, because
yeah.
I don't think there's any problem with going up to a woman in public and saying, oh my gosh, I love your makeup.
Oh my god!
It could
god,
be something
yeah.
as simple as that, or it could be a moment where you see a mom at the grocery store really struggling with their child having a tantrum, and
yeah.
you walk by and say, "Hey, you're doing the best you can today."
That's so cute.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Those
yeah.
little moments, even you know what we receive, it's those things that we think we would need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody out there that needs to hear the same
totally.
Thing.
Totally.
And especially when it's woman to woman. And again, it's not to say that men don't need compliments and men don't need to be there for each other,
yeah.
but there's definitely a difference in men and just a competitive nature.
Yes.
And women and the cattiness,
mm-hmm.
I guess we would label
yeah.
it, because it can be vicious.
It can be.
It can be vicious.
It can be detrimental.
On an entirely different level.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll go there and it's rough or,
yeah.
you know, so it's always trying to be, being the woman that I didn't have in my life
mm-hmm.
as a younger Nikki, right?
Yeah.
Because I was bullied so much. So I think that's why at some points I used to overcompensate
yes.
with kindness and too much of a people pleaser and lacking boundaries.
Yes.
Right? So finding now from that mistake the healthy space of where are the boundaries? Where can I be kind and helpful?
Mm-hmm.
And I do like to make people smile and be
yeah.
happy. But where's my boundary where, like, I'm being taken care of
totally.
As well? Whether it's taken care of for myself or someone else taking care of me with, because there's things we all need help with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But within that, we can definitely have, like, a sisterhood. I know that people might think it's cliche, but
yeah,
it's true,
it
right?
is true.
Because if we don't cheer each other on, then who's going to?
Exactly.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's easy to become resentful and angry, and especially in this industry.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Alyssa booked all of these jobs and I haven't. Well, you don't look like me.
Yeah.
You're not even my competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or
yeah.
it's not even a show I would get a call for.
Yeah.
So why am I mad?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's really practicing living in that space
yeah.
of camaraderie, sisterhood, community. I totally agree.
Yeah. And
some would call it girl power. And I'm like, yeah, Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
It's come full circle, ladies. You
yeah.
know?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
And even with like the whole concept of like the, oh, like it's so easy for women to come up and be like, well, why did she this? Or like,
right.
why did she do that? And it's like, that's coming from your own insecurities and your own jealousies.
Right.
Like even Alyssa now, like I, you know, I was thankful enough to live in a home and to be raised by majority women. So I kind of had no choice but to be this like girl power, like girly.
Right.
So that was a blessing for me. But I also very early on learned not everyone had that. And that was honestly
yeah.
a shock to me. I'm like, wait, you don't.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Don't
I watch people
like,
have sisters and I'm fascinated because I didn't
yeah,
grow up with sisters.
Yeah.
Or I had my best friends who would then, you know, maybe bully me or something.
Without realizing.
Which is very confusing.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Hey, you're my friend, so then why did you, when I wore a white turtleneck in grade school, color on my back if you're my friend? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, right? I
yeah.
totally agree. And I grew up with, you know, my mom loved me, but I think the life that she was able to provide with
mm-hmm.
my father for my brothers and I was, or for me, rather, I'm like, let me correct my grammar for my brothers and me.
Yeah, no, you could.
Was different than her upbringing. And I think sometimes that was
mm-hmm.
a challenge for her to digest. She
yes.
was happy and proud. But I think there was a slight competitive nature there or even a jealousy.
Yeah, a jealousy.
Right? And I sometimes envied the way that my mom interacted with my friends, my female
oh.
friends. I thought to myself, I want my mom to act like that with me.
Yeah.
But I had, now I've grown up and I go, she couldn't because she saw me as this daughter to protect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I was always fascinated by, you know, my friends who had sisters.
Mm-hmm. That's very complex,
A certain relationship with their mom.
Yeah.
Because it was different than what I had. Now, I had that more with my grandmother. My grandmother was, like, my best friend.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And now my mom and I have just like grown through so much. So that's where I totally agree, where it's who you were at 5 is different than who you were at 15, and you continue to evolve, mm-hmm. and especially if you want to self-reflect.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
And I can even say me from 2 years ago is different than I am now.
Totally.
Like there's things that I absolutely would say I regret. Uh-huh. Or things that I would say, oh, I wasn't really proud of that a couple of years ago, but I guess maybe I had imposter syndrome. That was a pretty cool thing that happened, you know?
Yeah, and I think, I agree. I think I did my most changing post-college.
Right.
And it's been about 2 years now, which is obviously like a blessing to be able to have the opportunity to grow, if that makes sense. But I even today, you know, a lot of the cattiness I witness with girls is all because of a guy.
Yep.
Like, it's... Like today, Alyssa, like I, when, you know, when I see or hear like, oh, an ex-boyfriend has a new girlfriend, I'm like, I literally say, I hope that was what he was looking for.
And you're like, if it wasn't me, hopefully it's her. And that is so, I give you kudos because I have struggled with that.
Yeah.
I've been cheated on a lot.
Okay.
A lot. I want to say probably every single relationship, honestly. So I used to have a very jealous side, but I don't even know if it was truly jealousy as it was maybe watching my mom with that competitiveness towards females, right? So I personally would then, and I didn't have a lot of good female friends.
Yeah,
right? I grew up with
that makes a difference.
Female friends who I thought were my friends, and then they would do something that hurt you to the core.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't know really how to trust women other than maybe my grandma.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I purposely... Even when I sought out therapy, I purposely looked for a female.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get past this.
Totally.
Purposely looking for those female relationships. Chicago Slaughter was my first time having a group of 7+ female friends.
Okay.
Truly friends. And I remember texting in a group thread going, oh my gosh, this is what it's really like.
Aww.
And it was so cool. But it took a lot of work because it's so easy to become jealous just to be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It's not fun to look in the mirror and go, why do I not want him dating that girl? What is my thing?
Yeah, it's our own.
That is so tough.
Yeah.
And then I do think, though, there are unfortunately females out there that I guess we would call a pick me girl, which I know me saying that term right now and maybe agreeing with it at times is controversial.
Yeah.
But I do think, unfortunately, there are people out there.
I agree.
That at the core, I like to say it's almost like their heart is covered in tar. And we don't know what dipped their heart in tar.
Yeah.
But I need to keep that boundary because that is, I have encountered some female individuals that they really enjoy the demise of relationships.
I agree. I have
It's a challenge to them.
Yeah. It's like a game.
Yes. But I had to then take a moment and almost mentally make, okay, this is who I'm dating. This is her. Where... Does he contribute to any of this?
Yes, that's the other thing.
Because I have to take a minute. Should I be mad at her? Should I be mad at him? Should I be mad at me?
Yeah.
Right? Let's just kind of make this a mental checklist.
Yeah.
And going, do I legitimately have a reason to be uncomfortable? Because the difference between jealousy and going, my gut says something just isn't right here.
I agree.
And for me, it's knowing that, again, that boundary of... You know, because I can just want to invite everybody to the table. Because I'm like, let's all be friends.
No, I know.
Let's all be together. Invite everyone to the table. Let's go. Anything for fun. Anybody, anything to get everybody together. So I would almost sometimes, I think, invite, what's a good word? But it, almost like you're inviting the darkness to the table.
Yeah.
Whether it's the male or the female. And so I really would have to check off, almost make a list of, okay, where is there the truth, the actuality that maybe this female really isn't a very good influence and it is her.
Yeah.
Where is maybe my partner involved in this?
Yeah.
Right? With the cheating stuff?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And where does it combine? Or am I just being a little delulu right now?
Yeah.
And I need to calm myself down.
Yeah.
So I've worked on that and I can like very confidently say, I think in the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, I really like, I just had moments where it clicked. I was like, I'm really not a jealous person anymore. I mean, I worked on my confidence level. I worked on my self-esteem. So now I know. I really know without a doubt if I have got a gut feeling about somebody, male or female, I can confidently look in the mirror and go, it's not you being insecure.
Yeah.
Like, there's there's something.
There's
here.
Reason.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, and I'm also, you know, I hate when I have to be like, damn, it was actually the girl like that. And not meaning cheating, but like,
right,
I always hated.
Because we want to wish the best.
Yeah.
And then you're like, because I want, yeah, I will think that like something is not right, and I'll be like, but I don't want to dislike somebody.
Yeah, I don't want to
be nice.
Her.
I want to be,
yeah.
But then I don't want to be fake. I need to be in reality as well. Yeah.
And I also, a thing I kind of maybe struggle with, I don't know, I can see a woman and she can do many things wrong. And my first thing is like, what caused you to do that? Like,
what happened?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what happened that caused you to be there? But then there do come points where you're like, well,
this is just a personality. You're like, I can't fix
you're
this.
You're not ready to work on it. You're not ready to evolve through it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm a person of chances. I give people many, many chances because I think that we all have things to learn from.
Yeah.
So if I know that there's times in my life where I've, again, done things where I'm like, oh, gosh, I wish I had another chance. And I was given more chances.
Yeah.
So I just definitely believe in giving that and receiving that. So I agree. I'll learn more about somebody and maybe she did do things.
And a
you're
lot
like,
of
son of a gun. And
I
you're
know.
Like, I want to give you more chances. But then there's a limit where you have to go, love you, sister.
Yeah.
You go.
Yeah.
You're not good for my space.
Yeah.
You work on that. And I will hope for the best for you.
And it's
from
just
afar.
Hoping they do better, but for themselves, not for me to feel better. And I think a lot of women, too, unfortunately, like in society and just in life, it, throughout history, have to make sometimes uncomfortable or bad decisions, bad quote unquote, to make their own safety and security okay. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of gray areas. It's a lot.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think what made me. I'm a big believer in, like, what's meant to be mine will be mine. Like, cards will show if something comes up that is not in your alignment than that was supposed to happen. It's saving you and blocking you from future things or from something worse happening. So I do live in that space, and I think that's why I, at a young age, am able to be, like, chill with whatever happens.
Right.
And if it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. But guess what? I get better every time I get hurt.
Do
like,
you
know,
think that's part of being in this industry at such a young age as well?
Yeah. I did tell that.
Right.
Because
we don't really
ago.
See it as a rejection. We see it as, okay, well, we didn't get the part, or okay, that was a note from the director. Okay, these are all notes and learning moments in life rather than having just this constant looming cloud of negativity.
Yeah, and it's also the confidence you have to build. I've been at audition since 1 year old.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of them. I was so young. But I have been rejected more than any human in their lifetime might have even thought at my age can be rejected. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I still sleep so peacefully every night. Like, and I think it's a blessing. Like I said, I have a very healthy role models at home. My mom is like the you know, she is the queen of everything, so she has saved me with how chill and like, it's not meant to be yours, Liz, like, you're fine. Like, it's okay, you're not the problem or whatever.
If you don't get that part or that voiceover or whatever it is, there's something else.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
or
you just
the
like walk
away.
Or
the other person needed it more than you did.
Right.
Or whatever that looks like.
I mean, the only entity that knows who needs what is God, right? So God knows, hey, Alyssa, like, you're okay with this person. They're going to need that more tomorrow than you need
totally.
Today.
Yeah.
Right.
Or this person needs this money to get off the streets.
Right.
You're okay. Whatever it is.
Right, right. It's the artist that's living in the car versus the artist that's living in a home.
And you root for those people too. You want the underdogs to survive and to thrive as well. So
Absolutely. It
is a thing. It's a blessing and a curse, this industry.
It is. And practicing this type of mindset. Because it is a practice.
Oh, yeah. It's a learning
curve. Even
though
it's naturally there in many people, just because you and I, you know, naturally want to root for people doesn't mean every day is easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have days where you're like, oh, what the heck? Why am I not getting called in for this or this? Or what the heck? How come that person did?
Yeah.
And then about an hour later, you're fine.
But
it doesn't mean that we're just bubbly and effervescent all the time.
Yes.
And living in the clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like we're still grounded. We still have moments where we need a hug.
Yeah.
We need to cry it out for a second. And you go, okay, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then I get an audition from your mom in an email, and I go, oh, that's why I didn't get that other part.
Yeah, something
there's
new.
This email that just came in.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And that's a blessing in itself. So
absolutely.
It's taking everything day by day, but also like having those roots in yourself or whatever gets thrown at you, you'll be able to figure it out, survive it or overcome it in whatever way that looks like.
And I think that support is so important. I know that with my parents being very like working class Americans.
Right? Yeah.
For the longest time, they were like, oh, well, now you've graduated and blah, 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 blah. When are you going to like stop paying for workshops? I'm going, never. because the workshops will always be there. There's always room to grow. And there was this really cool pivotal moment with my dad. I think it was maybe last year. And he sent me a text message, and then I think shortly thereafter a phone call. Mm-hmm. And we had actually just finished watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I love that.
There's that really cute moment where her father is, sorry to anybody who hasn't watched it yet.
Disclaimer.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. But there's that moment in the final season where her father kind of opens up, or he does open up to his friends and says, we didn't buy our apartment back. Our daughter did, and our daughter brought us in, and our daughter is a comedian, and our daughter is the hardest working person we know.
Yeah.
And we're proud of her. We may not understand it, but we are. And it was this really adorable moment. And I just read this text from my dad, and I just like got two sentences in and started crying. But he made a comment like, as much as, you know, you may not be rich monetarily, but you're rich in experiences and rich in heart because you've pursued your dreams more than anybody else.
Wow.
And I was like, more than anybody else I've ever known.
Yeah.
And you should be so proud of all the experiences you've had. And I'm so proud of you.
That's beautiful.
And it was this turning point for me, because that was such a moment compared to the man in the recliner in the basement.
Yeah.
In the house we grew up in, saying, when are you going to like stop taking these workshops?
Yeah.
When does this and this? Because they don't understand the industry.
Exactly.
Right? To then going, I see you, and mm-hmm. I see your joy. They've always known I was talented, or your mom's always known you're talented, right? They go, oh, you were given this God-given gift of gab, or a God-given gift of performing, or dance, right? They've seen it. They've seen it. Whether you're a working-class mom and dad, or you're a CEO, or wherever you are, I don't have kids yet, but I believe parents see what their kids' talents are, right? They may not understand it, but they see it. But they assume, just based on the system that we have all been part of for all of our lives, that, okay, well, now you're going to go be this, you're gonna have to conform to this mold, right? Mm-hmm. So for him to have that moment and go, not only do I see that you have this talent, but I see your joy. To me, when I read that, I felt seen, I felt understood, and my dad has always been my best friend.
Yeah,
but that was just different.
It is different
to receive that.
Yeah, because even though he's your best friend, I'm sure he was still maybe hard on you, or
had wondering how does this work,
expectations of you, or whatever.
Why do you need these headshots every 6 months?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
like they don't get it. And or I'm like, going, this is my portfolio. It's like, well, why do you have to retake these tests at the automotive shop every 6 weeks?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
same thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah,
just a different industry.
100%.
It all relates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really sweet, and I love that show. I didn't watch that last season.
I'm so sorry.
I'm okay. I'm
ruined it.
No, I actually like.
Spoiler alert, Alyssa. Just pretend you didn't hear anything. No, you'll love it. You'll love it.
The creator in me loves a spoiler, because then I know what's going to happen, so I can watch what the directors, the writers, actors put into it to get to that point.
I mean, that show, obviously,
and I know the concept
anyway,
of the show, so I know she's going to make it big, obviously. It's,
right,
you know what I mean?
And then you already know, I mean, her parents.
And they're hard on her. The traditional comes from a Jewish background, like, you know, all that stuff,
right.
The different standards and expectations, different cultures and
absolutely.
Religions, whatever that looks like, has on you. So I
right.
get the concept. I could picture her dad saying,
well,
that.
I can't wait for you to send me a DM after you
once
see
it's
the,
done
this episode.
That's cute.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, I saw the episode, I'm crying.
Yeah,
yes, I know.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I love that. Let's quickly switch gears.
Okay.
And I want just a quick insight thoughts POV. You are in the industry. You're a creative. How has, and you share as much as you're comfortable with.
Okay. I'm not getting so fidgety. I'm like, what's the question? What's happening?
I love asking creatives on the show, like, how has managing dating been?
Okay.
Because I'm someone who has dated people in the industry and outside of it. And I still don't know. I think there's perks for both, and there's also downfalls for both. So, like, what do you think in terms of, we talked about family and, like,
right.
how they have to understand and nurture that. But, like, meeting someone who's not in the industry on the streets and you end up dating him, like, or them or whatever it is, there's a lot that comes into that versus meeting someone in the industry. So
right.
what have you thought experience-wise? Like, what do you think
I think
works?
Well, it's tough to say what works because everybody's different as far as who we date, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's the same.
Yeah.
I would say communication is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced where people are super excited to date you at first because they're like, oh, wow, you're an actress and a model. And they have this idea of that, but they don't understand the very erratic schedule. I could start on Monday and go, I don't, you know, first Monday of the week. Well, Monday is the first day of the week.
It's been a long
that. But I mean, you can start, what I'm getting at is you can start Monday on your work week.
Yes.
What is everybody's typical work week outside of our industry and go, I only work this Friday. I don't really have anything going on. Okay. And you get a little anxious. And then by Monday at 3 p.m., you're excited because you received X amount of phone calls or emails and now you're booked all week.
Yep.
Or you're booked for 3 weeks coming up in the following month, right?
Yes.
So they don't always understand that. So what I've learned is I actually had this kind of series of relationships where after a certain amount of time, it was almost the same timeline, that it no longer became cute or nostalgic or this, or not nostalgic, this like novelty to date a model or actress or a fitness competitor, right? What, because some of them weren't in the fitness world and some of them were in the fitness world. But they still didn't understand, like, this isn't just a blip in my radar. Like, this is my life.
Yes.
This is my lifestyle. Like, fitness isn't going anywhere. Entertainment's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I love to give back to the community. So that also is not going anywhere, right? So the novelty will wear off sometimes.
Yeah.
And when that happens, that's when some of the hard conversations start.
Yeah.
And I, at one point, I would put a lot out there on Facebook or online, and that became a recipe for failure. And when I say a lot, like, I would put my relationships out there.
Okay.
And there might be thousands of people that follow you on Facebook that are your friends, but they're not your friends. And now they're requesting your boyfriend and your mom and your dad. And because your parents and your boyfriend, all these people see that you're a related friend, you're a mutual friend, they accept it. And that can breed some weird stuff right there.
Totally.
Right. A lot of times when that novelty wore off, it just became very apparent that we were in two different worlds.
Yeah.
However, at the time, I might not have also been very good at communicating things because it was, well, this is what I am.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
Right?
And you almost get resentful. Like, why don't you understand?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Totally.
So then I dove into another relationship and almost went so hard the opposite end of like, okay, I'll sacrifice this audition or I'll sacrifice this or that. Right. Because I don't want another failed relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't bode too well. He actually would bring up age, or he would bring up, well, what are you going to do with that degree eventually anyway? And the irony was, I taught this person because they needed to present for work. I then turned the closet into a green room.
Oh.
I was teaching them lighting and design. So it was almost like being in the industry with someone.
Yeah.
So that became a balance of like, who's recording what when.
Okay.
And I think I was hoping it would help this person see me.
Yeah.
And go like, oh, now I get how much hard work this is. But it just didn't work out that way. So unfortunately, that relationship ended. So then as I learned more about myself, and again, who was I? So this was the turning point of who am I without fitness? Who am I without performing? Who am I without all of these labels? Like, who am I, Nikki, at the core? Like, who did God make you to be? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Right. So bringing that into dating here and there after those long term relationships, went on a couple of dates with somebody that was in our industry and we just ended up being really good friends for a while.
Okay.
So it's like,
and that
this
works.
Is like, we were really good at balancing, like, this is your event, so do not put the flame out. Like, you've got to let that flame stay ignited and vice versa. But it just didn't work. It was just too much ego.
Yeah. And that's
that
another
element.
Yeah.
So I can't really, like, speak to dating somebody in the industry because it was literally, like, two dates. So it's not really dating. But within, like, my current relationship, to me, I had to take a step back and go, well, why would this person maybe be uncomfortable? And what is he speaking? And like you said, where is that coming from for him as, like, in his childhood, right? Or past relationships. And what would I want to hear? And there was actually a point where, you know, I had to do a film and it was like a religious film. So even like a kiss was like a smush. It wasn't really a kiss. But I hadn't even put in that situation yet.
Yeah.
And everything I've ever done, like, on stage, it was that good old-fashioned, like, oh, cover with a thumb.
Yeah.
You're afraid, you know? So I did my best, which would be, like, what can I do to help you feel comfortable? Or do you want to meet? It was an indie, so it was like, do you want to meet the director? Like, what can I do?
Because
there's not, as much as people think for the actor or the model that there's a lot in our control, there's actually, it's the contrary.
Dude, literally.
There's pretty much nothing in our control, mm-hmm. especially when you're up and coming.
Yeah.
We can obviously put our foot down. You have integrity. Mm-hmm. You know when to walk away. I have lines in the sand of things that I will absolutely not do.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But it was more, in this situation, it was, I needed to hear out where his emotions might be. Because mm-hmm. to me, I was like, well, it's work. I don't have emotions.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's a Christian set. Like, we're going to be praying before every scene. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like a face smush, like, yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
But to him, it was huge.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
Right. And so I really needed to hear him out. And for me, it was, here's this person. Here's the name of the film. Do you want to meet the director, since it was an indie and it was somebody that I knew, the director, I knew the director. I was like, you know, what do you need, basically, was the biggest thing. So that's what I've learned, is that communication. I'm still very private.
Yeah.
Like, my Instagram and everything is just, like, professional.
Yeah.
And it's just all professional. I also think that can be really, really, really challenging in dating, because we live in a world where we're accustomed to people putting everything out there, but mm-hmm. I've actually gone to quite a few workshops where there are talent managers present, where they really encourage having your, you know, your performing Instagram and your personal Instagram.
Yeah.
They, like, really adhere to that.
Yeah.
For your own well-being.
Yeah.
Because there's just individuals that can be very intrusive.
Yeah.
But that can be hard on the significant other, because they don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're like, are you not proud of me? Are you hiding me?
And yep.
I'm like, no. And in other ways, it's also something that's more sacred to me, because you're the one thing I have.
Yeah.
That's private.
Yeah.
Because everything's out there.
100%.
So if anything, I'm going like, no, I'm protecting, like, our bubble.
Space and stuff. Like, yeah.
Our relationship.
Totally.
It's sacred.
And yeah.
I don't need it out there. Everything else is out there. My emotions are out there when I'm performing. My face is out there all the time. Everything is curated, mm-hmm. right? To an extent,
yep.
curated, right? Because our portfolio is our Instagram.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it can be a very challenging thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tango.
It is. It's a lot. I'm still learning
I'll put stuff in my stories.
Yeah, stories, because they go away, and it's more just like for me stories are watched by my people.
The people who know
the people
that
who know you
are gonna look at your story.
Not like a stranger, right. or whatever. Also, unfortunately, being a woman, like, sometimes, you know, if you post you have a boyfriend, there are some crappy people who will not wanna hire you.
Yep.
And you don't wanna be in those sets and those spaces, but to even be in that environment is uncomfortable. Men don't have to hide if they
anything.
Have a hot wife,
right.
because they'll still get the job. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a thing. I also...
And everyone has an opinion.
Yeah. And one thing, though, that I was told by my therapist that really helped me feel better in terms of navigating, because I always thought, like, I'm asking a lot. I'm asking a lot of these boys. I'm asking a lot of this experience because of what my industry is. And she was like, Alyssa, this is your job.
Right.
Like, if you were an ER nurse and you worked 3 12-hour shifts, it wouldn't be asking a lot. It's, oh, she's a nurse. She's going to work.
We go to work.
For 12 hours, 3 days in a row sometimes.
Typically, it's a 12-hour minimum day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can be on set for 18 hours.
Exactly, and that's normal. And that's not weird. And if an ER nurse comes home and is tired and wants to take a day to herself or himself, they don't get crapped.
I call it cocooning.
Yeah.
Like, you cocoon.
And you just
like, you're like, I just need to be my blanket.
And
for
you
a
need
day.
That.
Yeah.
And they don't get talked bad to. They don't get, oh, well, why? You're working, whatever. It's like, yeah, have your space. If I come off a 12-hour set day and I just want to go and cocoon,
right.
that can be like, well, what do you mean? You're just home alone. You're just like, you're being lazy
they also
or whatever.
Think we're on set and we're just standing there.
And we're just like dilly dallying and like making.
It's
It's a lot. Having
it's
to do
lot.
The same thing over and over again and memorize
it's
lines.
It's muscle memory. So your body is
it's
working.
So much.
Your brain is on. Your facial expressions. It is so, so much. Are you outside in the elements?
Yeah.
In Chicago and 20 degrees while performing the scene, but you have to smile and act like it's,
yep.
you know,
spring. Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot, but thank you for that insight. I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
It's a delicate thing, and it's, you want to hear each other out and try to have empathy towards your partner, mm-hmm. but still know that it's your job, right? Because exactly. again, as the people pleasers.
Yes.
We want to just say forget it and sacrifice all of our boundary when in reality the boundary does need
and
to be
and that's not okay either. Yeah,
right.
It's not fair.
Right,
because
if you don't have the boundary there, then you don't even know if that is or is not the person for you.
Exactly. Yes.
Because if I just throw the boundary to the side and this is not okay with you at all, then I need to come to terms with this isn't okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Which is a huge step to take.
That's
because
a lot.
We want to hold on to relationships as tight as we can.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Anytime.
Okay. Last.
Oh, I was like, a high five. I was like, go team.
We did it. We did it. I have one last quick question.
Okay.
What would you tell 16-year-old Nikki today?
Get out of her head.
Okay.
Get out of your own way.
Yeah. I love that. Get out of your own way. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love that. And that speaks for itself.
Yeah. Just get out of your own way.
Yeah.
That can mean so many things.
It means a lot. Yeah. But I understand that. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's a gem.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. Nikki, do you want to share your handles?
Sure,
your social
medias? So you can find me on Instagram. It's Nikki_Huber_NIKKI_HUBER_
Thanks, Nikki.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for being here.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you when we are on to the next episode. Thank you. Bye.